Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Who do you fear from the Giants, and where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? Now, Corey.
Dexter Lawrence.
That is fair. I don't know if you heard, but I did have an opportunity to tell Mickey that I had a statement that wasn't really a question.
I did hear you tell him he needs to always listen.
Yes.
He was like, I'll just listen to Jerry. No, listen all the time, Mickey.
But I also told him that the Giants suck.
Yeah.
And I think I think he agreed. I think I turned it into a question by saying, huh?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, like if you're like, that guy's a jerk, that's a statement.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like, that guy's a jerk, huh?
So
there's a difference. By the way, real quick, I'm sorry. Speaking of jerks, the Carolina Panthers did fire their communications coordinator who mocked the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Yesterday, he put up a picture and said, why are y'all so mad? Your man said it was worth it. And so he got fired, and the Panthers put out the views expressed by our employees. Do not, like, kind of the boilerplate that you're used to. So that dumbass got fired today.
Yeah.
Now, back to the Giants.
They say, Kevin, based on your statement you made moments ago, that making statements as questions is more effective than actually asking a question. Because when you get more honest responses, just like we did with the yes and not yes game. We didn't ask questions. We just said statements. And then because when you're asked a question,
right,
you typically start thinking of a way to kind of navigate it. When you're told something, you just kind of go with the premise.
Right. I know what to do. Alec, can you cue up cut number 9 for me? I see what you're saying. You kind of fear this guy, right?
Daniels, pressure in his face. Here comes that pass rush. He is wrapped up and sacked. They blow the play dead. So Brian Burns has his second sack of this first half.
Brian Burns, 2 sacks against Washington. First time a player has had 2 sacks in a season opener since 2011.
A first time any player's had 2 sacks?
For the Giants.
For the Giants? Okay. That's, dude, everywhere he's gone, he's been effective. He is a pass rush extraordinaire. He only has 2 right now. All right. Like that's the concerning part
Harold
about
Landry.
His career. Yeah. But he had 9, 12 and a half, 8, 8. But he's always one of those players that wherever he is, people are like, that's the guy, the best dude on the team. I think Dexter Lawrence is the one that I fear the most, but Brian Burns can wreck the Cowboys' offensive passing game plan.
Right.
And they have, it's not like they just have one guy like that. They have multiple pass rushers that are effective. And then, again, going back to Dexter's laboratory right there in the middle. Yeah. What does this button do?
He's
right there in the middle just wrecking shop on not only their pass rush, too, but their run-stopping ability. So, like, this is one of those teams that their front 7 is very stout. And not a lot of fun to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I know we have, although I thought Mickey brought up a fair point. He goes, what have the Cowboys done? And I was like, that's a good point. They played a close game, but mm-hmm. they still lost.
Good point.
But you're right. With that combination of, you mentioned Lawrence, or we just played the highlight for Burns, and then you've got Leonard Williams and Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, that's obviously what they're leaning on as being the strength of this team. So the potential could be there to make like life difficult for Dak Prescott. And we've talked quite a bit in the aftermath of last Thursday's game about the potential, we're hoping, gelling of this offensive line. You know what? I hadn't even really thought about this. Do you think the extra few days does anything for the Cowboys as well in terms of strategy? Because sometimes we talk about the mini buy, and like, obviously it was the first game of the season, so the Cowboys were pretty darn healthy, but you do also, you have a couple extra games to prep, extra days to prep for this.
It's an interesting question because it doesn't depend on how you utilize the time.
Fair.
I believe, based on what Brian Schottenheimer tells me, is nobody's going to outwork me. I'm in here, you know, early enough and later than everybody else, probably getting home around midnight. And how do you use your time? Are you just kind of sitting around chatting with everybody? Or are you doing effective work? Having the extra day, do you take that to go hang out by the pool? Or do you take that extra day to watch just a little bit more film and figure out, oh man, because Broadus said this the other day, and I really loved what he was saying. You know, you go into a game, and Broadus said, I spent my whole career looking for weaknesses on opponents.
Yeah.
My entire career. And so why do I want the coach and his staff to go in there and attack the weakness? Because that's the best way to defeat the team, is find what their weakness is and just go after it over and over and over. And it's those little details that give you that weakness. Go back to that Super Bowl, the 28-3 comeback for the New England Patriots. They detail the way that Julio Jones broke left or right.
Right.
Earlier in the season, and how he the injury that he had leading into the Super Bowl was going to affect a certain play on a third down that they got the ball back because of how much detail they paid attention to. So, yes, Kevin, I do think that if you use it effectively, that you're able to benefit definitely from the extra day. And rest, I mean, sometimes the rest part of it, your body recovery, obviously not Deron Bland, but, you know, the rest of the bodies out there.
What if they're watching film by the pool? Does that still count from the 90s?
I'm all right with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Watch, as long as you're looking for the small details that help you get the edge.
The person that they fear is Jameis Winston. I still think it would be Jackson Dart that came in instead, but from the 2-4, I still fear Russell Wilson because of the scrambling. And we talked about the inability to seal off the edge. I guess the good news is the Giants did nothing running-wise that wasn't Russell Wilson last week.
So it feels like the last couple of years, Kevin, I want to say the last couple of years, maybe it was last year specifically, the Cowboys just got ate up by running quarterbacks. Do you remember coming in week after week feeling like, man, even quarterbacks that weren't running quarterbacks were able to pick up yards against this team? So my question to you was about to be, do you think that because they got, I'm not going to say embarrassed by Jalen Hurts, but embarrassed by Jalen Hurts so effectively on a standalone game like that, that the Cowboys are like, all right, we're cleaning that up immediately? Or does that, we're just still going to run our defense the way we do?
Not necessarily. I think it might look like that just because Jalen Hurts is a better runner than Russell Wilson, or I think now a better improviser than Russell Wilson. So I think it might look like a better result, but I don't know if I'll be ready to say they like tighten it up.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. So what to do at cornerback? Because you get the news that Deron Bland is going to be out for this game. I know there's speculation that it might just be this game. There are other people who think this could be a multi-week deal, but it looks very, very, very unlikely that he is going to play. And then you have Trayvon Diggs, who only had 27 snaps against Philly.
You're going to add more to that?
Yes. And he said, and this is what's a little tricky about it, he was talking about how he's ready for more this week against New York, but maybe not every snap. He said, a little bit more than last week, I feel like his best, smartest, and safest. And he is so right about that. Will that be altered at all because of Deron Bland, because they feel like out of necessity? Or do you think cooler heads will prevail and they'll be like, well, this is just one game, and like potentially re-injuring Trayvon by turning him out more than you needed to is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, man, this is the... I don't know exactly how to phrase this, but when you have a situation like this, I think you stick to the original plan. And that whatever we were planning to do with him anyway, despite what happened with Deron Bland, we have a 17-game season, 18-week season that we have to complete here. And anything else could happen to him at some point that is fluky or freaky or whatever. But we don't want to be the reason that, because we pushed it too hard and too far. And Kevin, there's enough science at this point. There's enough data.
Just in general or specifically?
I think there's enough data for these trainers. They're really good at what they do. I think there's enough data for them to have really good, well laid out plans for these bodies that they're sending out there and what they know they can handle and what they can't handle. And the other thing too, Kevin, is it sounds like Diggs is being honest with himself and the team and the media of here's where I am. So I think that, yeah, I think you stick with the plan and you fight everything you can to get, you know, good coverage out there while you're at it.
Okay.
Malik Nabers is going to try and run wild on you.
You know what, by the way, Malik Nabers said something I thought he got unfairly criticized in the aftermath of that loss for like the despondent look and then the kind of pseudo argument with Brian Daboll, which just included him like being upset for a second and then not like dapping him back and having a towel over his head. He was upset because they were losing. Now, yeah, I know
he didn't like to lose.
I know people think it's just his stats. I do not think that was a reaction to just not getting the ball more. I thought he was upset because they were losing.
He has RBF is what he says too.
Like
he's like, that's just
Noah
my face.
Has that.
That's just my face. That's the way it looks. Maybe one day we can have a longer conversation about body language and how that affects other people around you when your responsibility as a leader and how, because that is something you've heard coaches talk to players about is I need you to be this whenever everybody else is seeing you, even though I know you're passionate about something. I think that's a good conversation for maybe we ask some people as we interview them.
Okay. No, I
you guys are interviewing Canelo and Terrence Crawford tomorrow.
I will do my best. I will also patrol the casino to really see if anybody is out there of importance. So I promise I will still I will stay in the casino till late hours to try to get interviews.
I have concerns.
Me too.
I have a lot of concerns for Kevin's gambling.
Man,
situation.
You need to be most concerned for Saturday, college football. And I'm gonna be like, oh,
I made all the bets, Corey.
And you're going to be like, how much did you bet? And I'm like, $9,000. So I need to hope that at least.
But it's all broken up into small bets. So it's going to work out for you.
Yeah. So hopefully
still
$9,000. Yeah, absolutely. That's a fair point. All right. So a couple more people to be on the lookout for the Giants. So Drew Phillips, probably in the secondary. It was not a great day in the secondary for the Giants. So I thought Drew Phillips was probably somebody who showed out better than the rest, including Javon Holland. So that's another name to look out for. If you just go ahead.
They are a little suspect in that secondary, though. And that's where I'm really hopeful that this is the Pickens breakout game and the CeeDee Lamb redemption game.
Okay.
All in one thing in the Turpin, let's get touchdowns for everybody.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that, and this feels hugely problematic for any football team, but obviously this is who the Cowboys are playing next. Suspect in the secondary, also suspect on the offensive line, is they have people in positions that, I don't know, maybe feel like perhaps they're not true NFL starters or they're at least
subpar. It's a bad
offensive
line.
Yes.
It's bad.
And so you have an opportunity to take advantage of that as well as the secondary. I did want to point out at least one more player to keep an eye out on is Bobby Okereke. And
yes,
he had 16 tackles in the season opener. Now, I know
just lead the league in tackles, I believe.
Ooh, probably, yeah. Right? That's a crap ton of tackles. And that's the second, he's only the second Giants player since 94 to have that many tackles in a season opener. Now, I know just getting tackles is not always indicative that you played well because some of those could be kind of re-tackles off of something you missed. Some of them could be tackles at the second level for a play you really should have had stopped at the first level, but that's pretty eye-popping for
me. No, I think that you're dead on there, but it shows that dude's everywhere. And when that dude's everywhere, that's important. 16 was the leader for the week. Jordan Brooks had 14. Tyrell Dodson had 13. Both of those guys were playing for Miami, Kevin.
Oh!
So 27 tackles from the Miami players.
So what's the problem?
They're terrible.
By the way, that means he's on pace for 272 tackles. So keep an eye out on
that. I'm going to go find single season tackles leader.
That's got to be the most by probably a pretty good margin, right?
I love how you're throwing that number out there. Single season, 156.
Yeah, okay. So that's that is like, I mean, that's just an insane number. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the Expressway. We've got some NFL overreaction reality for you. Plus, my buddy's an idiot. Both of them next right here on The Fan. Cansey Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're off air. Corey gave another captivating tease for the C block at 1 o'clock. And I think we should all get ready for that. In the meantime, Alec, can you go ahead and give me cut number 7? Because it's time for NFL overreaction or reality.
Snap goes to Prescott. Handoff, Williams up the middle, plowing for the touchdown. I guess Javonte Williams will be okay.
All right, I like that. Now, I think you guys are going to disagree with my first overreaction or reality. And I actually think you might disagree with it a lot, but let's find out. NFL overreaction or reality. If the Cowboys lose to the Giants this weekend, their season is pretty much already over.
If the Cowboys lose to the
Giants?
That's
right.
There's 15, yeah. 16 games left.
Well, there'd be 15 after that.
For some people.
And the beginning of their schedule is super soft. And if you fall into a hole now, you're going to get annihilated in the back half of your schedule, is my opinion. This is definitely a Kevin question, not a...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
General.
So you're going to wave the white flag.
That's right.
After week two.
Correct.
All right.
I'll tell you.
I want to let you know how much I regret waving the white flag on the Rangers season.
I appreciate that.
Even though we're still 1.5 games back.
Hey, we talked about that. All right. You had your chance.
It's an eternity, guys.
I personally will just think that if you fall to 0-2 and lose to a Giants team that I think is one of the worst in the league, you're not going in.
I can see how it starts raising a lot of doubt internally. You start having the questions with Jerry and Steven are definitely angled differently. The questions from the media at the Star.
Are you embarrassed?
Those things happen. the questions to the players, the questions during Schottenheimer's press conference all change. The tone changes. Everything changes. I don't think it's over because there's so much season left.
No, I get
just
that.
Just like you don't expect to lose to the Giants, you don't expect to beat the Bills, and you could. And that's you could become a different team by that time. I don't expect to lose to the Giants, Kevin, but I understand where you're coming from. I disagree, though, so I'm going to say overreaction.
Okay. Alec, overreaction or reality? If the Cowboys lose to the Giants, their season is pretty much already over.
I'm going to go overreaction too, even though I want to go reality, because I understand where you're coming from. But in my mind, the division is already out of play for me. So,
Washington and Philadelphia already are on a roll. They're the top two teams. I see it.
Exactly. So, you know, they're not tied for 16th or 17th or whatever the stupid math is right now. But,
it's just regular math.
I don't see one game out of the division when you get to play them twice. And again, it's just the second week of this experience. It's the second week of the first year of a new regime, of a new look. You've still got players getting acclimated. I mean, like, I'm not acting like he's going to be NFL MVP or anything, but you haven't even seen one of the running backs that you've been most excited about, Jaden Blue. He hasn't even been active yet. You know, like, whenever you still have variables at play, Deron Bland likely not playing this week. Like, I don't want to put too much stock into a week two game when so many things are still up in the air for me, just in general about this season as a whole.
I do think, to add to what Alec is saying, there are tons of, and I don't want to do air quote fans, but there are tons of fans out there that are just waiting for a reason to give up on this team.
Sure.
There are a lot of fans that are also doing the same thing the other way and just waiting for them to give them any reason to hope. And a win would give them that hope. A loss would definitely turn them in that direction and be like, see, this is why. You know, and that's what you're kind of just, that's the stressful part about being where the Cowboys typically are.
From the 817, hard overreaction, Kevin. From the 817, agreed, Kevin. And from the 254, Kevin, regular math can be stupid.
That's right.
Oh, I agree. Now, I don't disagree with that. All right. NFL overreaction to reality. I'm going to take a big swing on this one. The NFL will be by far the dominating force in American sports for at least another 10 to 15 years.
That's it?
Do you think it's going to be for ever?
As I think Goodell's actually a really good commissioner.
Cam Newton told me WNBA is coming for him. So.
All right. I'm excited for the Wings.
Well, I need that. I am excited for the Wings. I just need them to play better.
I seriously think Roger Goodell has a good hand on the wheel for this thing. He understands this is a cash cow, and he's like, why would I screw it up? Let me just make moves that are in favor of us. I don't have to be too bold with anything.
Yeah.
I can just, this thing's a steamroller. Why do I need to try and screw it up? So whoever the next person is, as long as they're kind of in the same line there, maybe he does do the next 10 to 15 years. I don't know. But I think that, I think it's longer than that, man.
And it,
I don't know. I don't see a time when this thing doesn't continue to go that direction. Maybe the money gets too much in contracts and players go, all right, that's it. We're done. Because you guys aren't working with us in negotiations, but I just don't see a way.
And it is hard to predict. Like, obviously, you know, Adam Silver, to a certain extent, undercut his sport yesterday by saying, oh, just watch the highlights. You're fine. And MLB has a looming work stoppage in 2027. So who knows? But I was looking at this, Alec. The Cowboys-Eagles game got a nice bump when you included the digital ratings as well. So Minnesota-Chicago, 22 million. Detroit-Green Bay, 24 million. Think about this. I really want to point this out. Baltimore-Buffalo, one of the wackiest games you'll probably see all season. I know we just started, but that game was insane. 24.7 million viewers. Dallas and Philadelphia, the average, which included a 64-minute weather delay, was 28.3 million. So two of the best teams in the NFL, craziest game you'll probably see all year, or right up there, had 3.5 million fewer viewers than the Cowboys game that included a rain delay of more than an hour, or a weather delay of more than an hour.
And that's the thing, Kevin. Yeah,
it's crazy.
76.3 million viewers for the finale of Seinfeld.
Wow.
There was a time when sitcoms on night competed with sports.
Absolutely.
That time no longer exists.
We've gotten way too fragmented.
And I don't know exactly. I think the only thing that people talk about on a daily basis other than football and other sports is politics.
Maybe.
What drives conversation in the offices? What drives, you know, it's football.
Yeah,
people can't wait for it. And so those types of numbers are going to continue to exist. And nobody's willing. I mean, even the executives aren't willing to pay the writers good enough money to come up with great sitcoms anymore. So that does. That's, I don't think there's ever going to be a reality that doesn't have football at the top.
Week one, third straight week to have four games over 20 million viewers. And then week one compared to last year, up 5% year over year. And by the way, 2024 was up 19% year over year. Wow. And so this season was still able to jump on that. So Mark Cuban, who said that the hog gets slaughtered and also that he would always be in charge of the Mavericks, couple of tough predictions.
When this hog gets slaughtered, we're all going to eat, I guess. I don't know.
It'll happen some time, right?
I have an overreaction reality, Kevin.
What? Okay, go ahead.
I sounded drunk when I said that. Yes. Yep. I have not even had a drink, I promise.
Mm. That's where he really was.
Yep.
Overreaction or reality, when you see all caps, you just read it as screaming.
Yes. Reality.
Even if all caps, Brandon does not intend it to be screaming. He types in all caps and I always read it as screaming. That's just the way that it is. It's just a natural part of my brain.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely a reality.
I love all of you.
How did it get to all caps? Because, like, obviously I know if you do the lowercase, uppercase, you're like mocking, kind of repeating.
Yeah.
But sometimes I want to send something not realizing that I push the caps button twice. and then the first letter is lowercase and then everything else uppercase. I hope you can read between the lines and be like, well, you're just dumb. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're right. I was, and I was too lazy to go back.
You don't go back and correct that?
I almost always do, but I'm not going to pretend like there's never in the history of a world been a time that I was like, good enough. You get the idea.
One thing I love about the iPhone is the ability to correct edit text that I've sent. Yep. I can't do that when I send Kevin text. Well, I have to go back and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean will.
Guess
I meant
what?
Will.
That's the greatest argument I've ever heard to get an iPhone, because that actually would come in really handy
useful,
for me.
Man. It's super useful.
NFL overreaction or reality? Aaron Rodgers will throw for 40 touchdowns this season.
I think that's a reality.
Oh.
I mean, they're not going to play the Jets every week.
True.
But DK Metcalf didn't have a great game against Sauce. But I think that they have a well-constructed offensive line. I think they have a good plan on running the ball, too. They have good weapons. And their defense is going to get him the ball back frequently. I think they're just a better coach team overall than what Aaron Rodgers was dealing with the Jets. And I think he can do it.
It's been 5 years. Obviously, a captivating start to the season for him. All right, Alex, same for you. Overreaction or reality? Aaron Rodgers, 40 touchdown passes this season.
Overreaction, he falls just short. I think it's going to be a better year than I anticipated, which sucks for anybody who just is tired of Aaron Rodgers, because that means it's going to continue to be insufferable throughout the rest of the year. But hey, if it means good football, I really don't care. I feel like when the Steelers are good, then usually things in the league are going pretty well. That means that they're getting primetime games. That means that, you know, you're getting more sound bites of Mike Tomlin walking out because nobody asked him a question at a press conference, which is weird. But like, you get more attention on that team and that organization. That's a good thing. So, you know, I do think it's a good thing for the league and for the team for him to do that. I think he's more in like the 35 range, which I still think he's going to have a good year. That, like you said, that offense, it looks well constructed around him.
All right, I'm really glad you said that, because a rare follow-up overreaction or reality question, although I guess that's becoming more common. Overreaction or reality, the Jets still made the right decision to go with Fields over Rodgers.
Reality. They didn't like the way Aaron Rodgers kind of commanded the place, or thought he was commanding the, you know, he got the coach fired, essentially. We all act like he didn't. You saw the look on it when he pushed his coach off of him. I mean, we saw that. I think that going with a younger quarterback, somebody that Garrett Wilson connects well with, Garrett Wilson welcomed him into the fray because they played together at Ohio State. And having somebody to kind of grow with this young team, there's a lot of young players on that team still. I think that's a smart decision. I didn't think Aaron Rodgers was the right fit for them. I do think he's the right fit in Pittsburgh, though. Him and Mike Tomlin's a good combination. Mike Tomlin is too strong of a coach to get pushed out the way that Saleh did. It's not going to happen. He has too much invested there. So I think it's a really good combination.
And Justin Fields, he helped the Jets offense score 4 touchdowns, and they had plenty of offense going. So Alex, same for you, overreaction or reality, the Jets still made the right decision to go with Fields over Rodgers.
Yeah, it was just never a good fit, so that's going to be a reality. Regardless of really any end result of the Jets season, they needed a change, and it needed to be younger. It needed to be something low risk, because bringing in Aaron Rodgers at his age, with now his injury history, everything that comes with him, you are planning on winning and winning immediately. When you bring in a new head coach, you have some moving pieces in terms of personnel like the Jets have had. You're not signaling that you're ready to win today. If you win, cool, but you're not trying to win it all right here, right now. This is a, let's see if we've got something here with this staff and with this quarterback, and if not, we'll adjust next year.
Sometimes it's weird to think about the ages of people. Justin Fields is 15 years younger than Aaron Rodgers.
Jeez.
All right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to do this one, but I think it has to be asked. Overreaction or reality? You are at least somewhat concerned that Deron Bland is injury prone.
Yes. Reality. I know our definitions of injury prone are all over the place.
Sure.
Have you been injured frequently? Then yes, that could definitely be your... And you know what's interesting? I will go with the idea that when weird stuff happens to you all the time, you're injury prone. Even if it's a weird thing.
I agree with that.
It's an unexplainable, just weird stuff. Some people have great luck. Some people have terrible luck. And you can say luck, preparation, opportunity. The things that happen. The ball bounces to you. I have 4 recovered fumbles because the ball bounced my direction. I was just standing there. But maybe you were prepared enough to be in the right place whenever that happened. Whatever. But I do... It's happened too many times already, and I have concerns about his body in the NFL.
Alec, overreaction reality. And again, I hate even asking this question, but you are concerned that Deron Bland is injury prone.
Well, I want to say no, because I just hate tagging people with that, because like Corey said, a lot of these situations aren't controllable. They just happen. But what's the first thing you think when you see the Todd Archer report come across your Twitter timeline? You say again?
Yeah.
That's the first thing you think of 90% of the time. 90% of fans thought that when they heard the report. So if I think that, then I have to say yes. Whether I want to deny it out loud, in the back of my mind, there is that notion that, man, that just happened again. We're dealing with this again in 2025. Okay, I got to admit it.
And then just one more quick one for you. The NFL overreaction reality, the Saints should just say screw it and just let Tyler Shuck start already. Spencer Rattler, and I'm not saying that it's his fault alone. He is 0-7 as a starter in the NFL, and they scored 13 points. So that team is going to suck. Why shouldn't you just move on to the next quarterback and see if he's gotten anything?
Yeah, so you can quickly get to Kellen Moore starting.
Look, you know that is my dream scenario.
My dream, too. I talk about every time you bring up the Saints quarterback situation. The first thought is, why is Kellen Moore not starting already?
All right, Alec, overreaction.
I want him to start with that stupid leather helmet that he was wearing after he won in Boise State.
Okay, we'll get to that. Hopefully in a few weeks. But NFL overreaction to reality. The Saints, they should just be like, screw it. And just go ahead and start Tyler Shuck.
If they're that high on him to the point where they made the move to get him, then yeah, you probably should. But at the same time, what if it turns into a Zach Wilson situation? You throw him out there and he's seeing ghosts. And then you kind of scar him. And it's just not right time, not the right place. You know, I don't know what his mentals are like when it comes to his preparation and how hard he takes losses and imperfection. But if he is one of those players that's really tough on himself, it might be smart to hold off. But if you're trying to at least work towards the future, you're not winning anything this year. Just go ahead and get him the reps.
He's going to be 26 in 17 days.
Yeah, he's already 30, man. Come on.
Oh, man.
That's practically 64 in NFL years.
Actually, kind of. All right, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, can you go ahead and give me cut number 4? Because it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot.
Smith is now at third. Peterson at first. And we just got a balk? I think Peralta just balked.
He did.
Wow. With Smith at third, he's awarded home plate, and the Rangers lead 3-2 on a balk.
Now, there could be a couple of different reasons for this first one. Every time you see a pitcher get a balk, do you think they're an idiot?
Absolutely.
Or do you think all teams that try to take on the mighty Texas Rangers right now are idiots?
Look, Fastball Freddy didn't have a shot yesterday, especially against Jake Berger.
He didn't.
He was like, I don't even know what pitch to throw to this guy because he's just going to rock the crap out of it. Yeah, man, the Rangers are in a place where their confidence level is very high. What's great about this, too, and I know we discussed the Seager and Semien being out and they're still doing this, but it's the guys that are also contributing that you expected to be contributors before the season. You've seen Joc Pederson have a couple of moments in this stretch. You've right. seen Berger have a, I mean, Berger feels like you're really having a good stretch
yes,
here.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Higashioka struggled yesterday, but he's been just so great for you this season. So you're seeing that in addition to these other, the little rascals, as you guys call them.
I didn't invent that name.
Who did invent it?
It might have been the
TV
crew.
Is it Jared and Elvis? Did they? Jared and Elvis, y'all text in, let us know if y'all did it.
Yeah.
But that's the pitching has just been consistent this year. It's been, I've been confident and comfortable with it. I don't know why I expect such a better outing from Merrill Kelly, but I panicked when he gave up two leadoff home runs yesterday. I panicked and was like, oh no, this is just the tough one. And then whenever, you know, Boach had to come take him out of the game yesterday, I was like, oh man. But Kevin, I think I agree. If a pitcher balks, he's an idiot. What you know the rules. The
right.
only thing that should like cause a problem. All right, I was a center once, not a sinner, a center. I was a center in high school and I poured a cup of ice water on my head.
Mm-hmm.
An ice cube got stuck in my shoulder pads. When I got down to snap the ball, the ice cube had melted and went down my butt crack. And I went, oop. And when I did that, I false started as the center. And coach was like, what the hell? You have control of the ball. You're the pitcher. If you have an ice cube running down your butt crack, then I get it. Other than that, you shouldn't balk.
Your thoughts? Alec,
what's the best kind of correct? Technically correct. Can't refute it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, is the Fox NFL broadcasts, are they idiots? They, one of their B-rolls or one of their establishing shots for the Jacksonville-Carolina game, they showed Jacksonville Landing, which is like a fun little area in downtown Jacksonville, which is great. Here's the issue. Jacksonville Landing hasn't been around since 2019. That's when they redesigned and got rid of it and whatnot. And so it's more than 5 years since the city bought it and tore it down. And Fox is still using that. You probably need to update our establishing shots and whatnot,
Kevin,
right?
I do feel like, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, every year I would send the crew out to go get new ones.
Yeah.
But I know that there have been tons of cuts in the business. And now people are like, well, hey, just go back to the stuff we have from, a couple of years ago. We'll be fine. Not thinking things like that exist. Like that's, and a lot of the higher ups in these companies don't think about the jobs that,
right.
that we do. So that's, I would assume that, but I get it. It's, whenever you're dealing with stuff like that.
Okay.
It's been gone for how long?
Since 2019.
That's a long time.
It is.
There's not much in Jacksonville.
If you're showing something that, like, I can even point to a major historical event in COVID,
yeah.
and you're like, no, it was gone before that. Then you probably should.
Yeah.
You should have a different.
You should have rebooted everything
yeah.
after COVID.
Yeah.
Like, all right, guys, we're going to clean things up here real quick.
Now, I know there's been discussion about this. Is Team USA, or I guess more specifically the merchandisers for Team USA Golf, are they idiots for putting out their Ryder Cup shirt with a kind of a silhouette of a swing that definitely looks like Rory McIlroy, who would not be on the team? And if you don't think it's Rory McIlroy, it looks closest to Adam Scott, who once again is not American. It kind of feels like you should have looked at this a little bit more before you release the merchandise, right?
That's just a golfer.
Is it?
It's a silhouette of a dude in his full stroke completing his swing. That's
Alec, your thoughts about that?
No comment.
Okay.
Kevin,
1:30 tomorrow.
There is no way that there's no way that this was taken off of a. I'm looking at it right now.
You're looking at the side by side with the.
Looks exactly like Rory. Now that you show me
like
that.
Like right down to the club head where it's at in relation to the rest of his body.
Yeah. That one right there.
All right.
Now that I see that, that's changed my mind just a little bit. I'm not as definitive as I was about it earlier.
Is it possible by the rules of merchandising that Rory McIlroy now has to play for Team USA in the Ryder Cup?
That's not possible, unfortunately. Okay. But also fortunately, because he doesn't always win big things. So
true. Look,
America, baby.
I am not going to say anything about his ability to win important tournaments.
Yeah, the last time you said something about it,
I know.
One in your face.
Yeah. Is Norway soccer an idiot?
Is Norway and Denmark, are they Holland, are they all the same? Or is this
Norway its own country?
Oh no, man.
And I guess more correctly, I should say, is Moldova soccer an idiot? Because Erling Haaland scored 5 goals in an 11-1 beatdown of Moldova.
Well, that dude's elite. That's why.
No, he is. But wouldn't you think, maybe I'm thinking too much about the Ted Lasso season 3 finale. Wouldn't you think, hey, let's mark that guy a little bit more. He has 2 goals. He has 3 goals. Or are you like, I'm Moldova. We can't.
I maybe they did, and they still just were incapable of.
So
I didn't
like
watch this match, so I don't know.
So he could have had 8 goals, but they like really put the screws on him defensively.
Like maybe they did.
I believe that.
But they, no matter what they double teamed him with, they were like, it's still not good enough to stop this guy. Like he's just having that. And dude, sometimes you're like, hey, go hit that pitcher. And like, he's unhittable today. What am I supposed to do, coach?
And for the people who are saying it is the same country, but he added Denmark into that. So, no.
Holland and Netherlands are the same country?
There's a Friends episode about that.
That's awesome, dude. I just remember watching which one wears the orange and blue sometimes during the World Cup? Y'all text in. We'll wait.
And that's Norway, right?
All right, so that's what I'm asking. They have 2 different names. It's weird. You can understand how I thought that maybe they had 3 different
names. Don't we have 2 different names? Don't we go by the United States and America?
And the United States of America. So that's 3 different names. So again, like Holland and Norway and potentially Denmark.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty 806, good. Man, Corey is on fire. And no, I absolutely, dude, yeah. I know Erling Haaland is awesome. That is my older son's favorite soccer player. But
dude's elite, man.
5 goals.
I have a rookie card of his.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I don't know how I got a pack of. I bought a. No, that's what it was. I bought some soccer cards during the World Cup last time. Because Avery really got into it, and he was like hunting an Mbappe card, and I was like, "Dude, these cards are like very expensive." And I said, "Let's just get some packs and see what we find." We got one of his rookie cards. So what do I do with it?
Maybe get it graded. I would say if you could show it to me, but then maybe get it graded. Now I have a couple of not.
Don't put my fingerprints all over it.
Yes, agreed.
Deal.
I have a couple of not so fun. My buddy's an idiot. Texas Tech cornerback Amir Boyd. He was arrested for reckless driving after allegedly doing donuts in an intersection. Now I get a parking lot. Like I feel like probably plenty of people have done that in the past, but don't do a donut in an intersection. And then this one is
I listen.
Would not have thought I would run into pushback on that.
Have you ever seen Tokyo Drift?
Actually, no.
You should.
Okay, and I don't want to upset RJ, but I'm pretty sure I've seen like 1 through 7-ish. Mm-hmm. What's the one where like Paul Walker's there at the end and he gives like Vin Diesel the thumbs up because he died?
Okay.
No, but he was like dead and they play a song and it's lovely.
I cried.
I think I saw up to that one, but I did not see Tokyo Drift.
Okay, Tokyo Drift, and that was like the second or third. It was like the third one, because the second one was Too Fast, Too Furious.
Mm.
Of course it was.
That makes sense.
But the Tokyo Drift, there's a scene where, because it's like 2 or 3 in the morning, dude. No cars are on the street except for these 2 race cars. One's got some girls in it. They're in the middle of the intersection. A guy floats around them or drifts around them, because it's Tokyo Drift. And then like she's like, oh my gosh, look at how amazing he is at drifting right now. And then drives off, or maybe vice versa. And so that was a way that they could connect, Kevin. I agree. Don't do it at an intersection. But for love?
Yeah, Tokyo Drift, I'm pretty sure it was the third one. But people said it had nothing to do with the other ones.
It didn't.
And then again,
although look, Vin Diesel and another character are in it. So did it have something to do with it?
Didn't it kind of feel like maybe the plot is not necessarily the most complex thing about those movies?
Well, okay.
It's about family.
Here's the plot.
Right.
All right. The plot is family. Here's a car, and then this car, and that's an awesome plot right there. Credits.
From the 214, Tokyo Drift is literally the best one. And then from the 817, no, you should not see Tokyo Drift. It's absolutely horrible.
You've seen a lot of horrible movies.
Yes. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, the Detroit Tigers, they're now up to 8 employees that have been accused of misconduct towards women in the last 2 years, including some broadcast issues.
Okay.
Sorry.
Dang it.
Wanted to throw that out there. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
What happened to my wife last night was my fault. Next on The Fan.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.